Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Thursday. Hope everybody had a great day today. I had a great day. Talk about that here in a sec. You are listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700, the Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at Steen on Sports. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ, and the website is 1700thechamp.com. We have no Minnesota Twins baseball tonight. Friday night, we have Twins and White Sox. Saturday and Sunday, we have some NTT IndyCar racing at Iowa Speedway. We will talk about that as well. Then we open back up again Monday, Tuesday, Twins versus the Mariners again. Just getting them at home instead of on the road. They won 2 out of 3, which is awesome. They need to do the same throughout the weekend versus the White Sox. They're a better team than the White Sox, so we'll see what happens. As always, want to thank our sponsors of the show, Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Heritage Building Maintenance Group, and 4 Homeless Veterans. It's Central Iowa Shelter and Services' 5th year of hosting the 4 Homeless Veterans Golf Outing, benefiting homeless U.S. veterans that are staying with them in their emergency shelter. It's Monday, July 31st at the Legacy Golf Club in Norwalk, Iowa. By participating in this event, you are supporting a mission to provide homeless veterans an opportunity to grow and rebuild. The funds raised help to maintain all 150 beds at the emergency shelter, provide street outreach, and cook 600 nutritious meals each day for many of our veterans. These services are the first steps towards stability and self-sufficiency. Please join us. $250 to be a hole sponsor. You get a 20 by 32 sponsorship sign at a designated hole on the course. To get in on a 4-person team, it's $600. So $150 a piece, 18 holes of golf, golf cart, banquet meal, 2 drink tickets, player, raffle, and prizes. If you want to do both, it's an $800 package. It'll save you $50, which we hope you will donate to the cause. So register individually or as a team today. You can go to centraliowashelter.org/events/4.html. I want to thank them for being a part. It's a couple of my buddies, Melissa, who is the CEO. She is Central Iowa Shelter and Services. And Eric Mangels is as well. Retired from Baker Group and a really good friend and something that we care very deeply about. So want to thank everybody for that. My excitement for the day, a beautiful day spent at Terrace. It was the Building Owners and Managers Association, BOMA International. It was their golf outing. I do believe it's once a year. Saw a bunch of my friends, enjoyed some golf with my buddies, and had a really good day, had a lot of fun, and Terrace looks amazing. Like I said, the weather, it got a little warm, though. And here's a fun thing, traffic in Des Moines, you can tell it's summertime. Traffic is not fun to get from point A to point B when you're that far away. But I made it in here, happy to be here, happy to be talking to B Styles today. Also have a message out to Maddie Nelson as well to see if I can get him on today. And trying to see if we can fit some time in with, Ann Fiskren, who is, I sent her a message and I'm confirming right now. I think we're going to talk to her at 5 o'clock. That would make me very excited. It is a big weekend coming up for Newton Speedway, Iowa Speedway, however you want to say. But it is NTT IndyCar Racing, and that's going to be a ton of fun. So I'm really looking forward to that. It's really funny because my wife and I are going. And we're meeting other family there. And it's one of those things. I'm really excited because it's IndyCar racing. And I always tell the story that Jennifer and I, we've moved in with Nana. We had a need, she had a need. It's just like one big happy family. We've really been enjoying it. I think we're heading into our 2 years, and IndyCar racing is a big deal to my wife, Nana, Bumpa, our family. It is what they were raised on. It was what I was raised on. My parents loved IndyCar racing, NASCAR racing, fairground racing. We did it all. And so anytime that that we can work our way through and get to do that, that's a huge bonus. And there's a bigger bonus. And I don't know what everybody thinks with Newton Speedway, but it's, you have Carrie Underwood, you have Kenny Chesney, you have the Zach Brown Band, and you have Ed Sheeran. What more can you ask for? Last year, I was lucky enough to go. We went up on a Friday. We did our show. And then on Saturday, we had a prior engagement. We were down at the lake with a bunch of friends. Came back down on Sunday and went and seen Gwen Stefani and Blake Shelton in one of the best races I've ever seen in my life. Newton Speedway is... So, just a little background. Newton Speedway, Rusty Wallace. It was originally... NASCAR had races there. NASCAR has changed their schedules, and you know, you get a little misplaced. Not that it might not ever come back, because I think there's a possibility. But IndyCar racing, and especially with the way the NTT IndyCar is set up and how the cars are set up, this is their racetrack that they love to come to and they love to go, because it is put your foot down, and it's one of those places that the best car doesn't win. It's the best driver who can get his car around the track the fastest, and there's so many different ways to do it, and it's so much fun. So really, really looking forward to all of that, and just confirming, I think she's going to come. Ann's going to come on at 5, and we'll get to talk about that. She's going to be on the show with us tomorrow live. We'll try to have some other people as well. But it's a big weekend for the radio station. It's a big weekend for Newton. It's a big weekend for Indy racing and concerts. I mean, where else can you get the type of concerts that we're getting at Newton Speedway? So very, 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 very Iowa Speedway, Newton Speedway, whichever way that we can get through it. So some other sports news today. It's the Open. It's a huge deal today. And scores were what I consider to be typical of the Open. You have to know your way around a links course. You can't get yourself in trouble. The leaderboard after day one, I mean, it looks a little like a normal leaderboard. You have, I'm looking at it right now for the first time this afternoon. You have 32 people that are even or lower. You have to get to in the 60s. So right now, tied, if it was today, you'd have tie for 66. So plus twos would be making it to the weekend. And you have some players all over the place. I think the biggest one, and it's the one that's getting the most notice on sports right now, is Justin Thomas having another really excruciating major. He is plus 11 today, had a quadruple today. Phil Mickelson is plus 5. Wasn't expecting that with Phil being on that course. Zach Johnson plus 4. Justin Rose plus 3. I had him in a pool today. Patrick Harrington struggled a little bit today. Bryson DeChambeau struggled a little bit today. But when you're looking at the leaderboard, you have a amateur. Christo Lemprecht is minus 5. Tommy Fleetwood, minus 5. Emilio Grillo, minus 4. Brian Harman, minus 4. And Anton Rosner and Adrian Ortega are minus 4. Wyndham Clark Alex Noren, Michael Stewart, Stuart Sink, Max Homa. Jordan Spieth had a good round today. Siwoo Kim had a good round today. Xander Schauffele was under par. Brooks Koepka was under par. Scottie Scheffler, once again, in a major under par. And the betting favorite right now, Rory McIlroy, was even for the day. And it's pretty exciting because you have tee times. A lot of these tee times, if you're watching the British Open, you are watching at 1:52 in the morning. That's 1:30 in the morning is the earliest tee time that I think. Oh, there's a 1:08. So 1:08 is, I have a feeling there's a 1 o'clock, a 1 a.m. tee time if you have that many tee times. Nope, 1:08 is the first tee time. So we have all of that going on, and you have baseball going on, and some of the other things, some bigger news items as well. The NFL owners today approve a $6 billion sale of the Washington Commanders. We're going to take some time and dive into that a little bit more today. Maybe we'll talk about it a little tomorrow too, except for we're going to be heavy racing tomorrow. I think it's good for the NFL. Daniel Snyder, you know, you don't hear all the stories, you don't hear the full stories, but what you hear, it's pretty painful, some of the things that have gone on in the Washington franchise, the football franchise, and how ineffective the commissioner and the board of directors and other NFL owners, how long they let this go on, and how many people he hurt, and how many lives that he took upside down. I struggle with the NFL when it comes to that, and until you take a step back and you understand that Roger Goodell works for the owners. The owners are the ones that vote to give him a job, let him keep his job. So being able to control owners is not an easy task for someone to do at all. And some of the things that happen, and once this sale goes through, and it is going to Josh Harris. Josh Harris has other sports franchises. I think he's going to be a well-positioned owner. I think he's going to help with some of the things that we're struggling with. And you just can't have someone like Daniel Snyder and all the things that have happened during his time with the NFL. It doesn't bode well for the NFL, and it doesn't look good. And it took way too long. But at least now it's over. And maybe when he's out of power and out of, I think saving grace for Daniel Snyder was, hey, if you guys try to do this to me without letting me make my fair share to sell the team, then I'm spilling everything that I know about you guys. And that's the issue, is that it's not a commissioner that is selected by the NFL Players Association. He's selected by the NFL owners. So you still do not have people that are holding owners accountable. And it just doesn't work. And the only reason that we're at this point where Daniel Snyder had to sell the team, Daniel Snyder was ratting out John Gruden because he was mad that John Gruden didn't fulfill his obligations as for coaching the Washington Commanders. And in there, and some of the things that were released, it showed some of the things that Daniel Snyder was doing, and it got out in public. Because if you look at all the behind the scenes and you look at all that, this was stuff that should have been known. It should have been out there. If it was a player, it would have been out there and he would have been punished. But it was an owner, and so it wasn't. And that really put a negative, it just put a negative connotation in a black cloud over the NFL. And the NFL is, no matter what anybody wants to say, and I know how much people love soccer, but the NFL is it. when you are looking at what is it in the sports world, it's the NFL. It's the NFL based on dollars. It's the NFL based on TV. It's everything. It is the NFL. They are king. And they were letting one of their own destroy their product. And you can't have that happen. So I hope this is a turn of the page. You have some owners that want to have a say. You have some owners that want to change some of the things that we consider to be wrong with the NFL. And there are some. And just this week, we've talked a ton about, you know, how the owners and the Players Association and how they get along and how they interact and all of that. And it doesn't look like the owners put enough stock into what the players' wants and needs are. And one of those things is a little bit of collusion, a little, with running backs. And it was a big topic this week. But it's nice to have Daniel Snyder be no more. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3. Once again, happy Thursday, Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook at 1700 The Champ and the website 1700thechamp.com. No baseball tonight, but we have Friday, we have the Twins, White Sox. Saturday, Sunday, we have NTT IndyCar Racing. 1:30 on Saturday and 1:00 on Sunday is when the programs start. British Open going on. We get some updates. We'll air at the 55 break over the weekend. And next Monday, Tuesday, we have Twins Mariners. This segment is going to be brought to you by Northwest Bank. Got to get my right read here. Northwest Bank, commitment that you can bank on, taking care of your personal, business, agriculture, private banking, wealth management, and insurance needs every day your way. Locations in West Des Moines, 2 in Ankeny, 1 in Ames, 3 locations in Omaha, and many across the northwest side of the state. Check out Northwest Bank's mobile app for ease of doing banking whenever your phone is in your hand. Go to nw.bank to take advantage of applying online for various types of loans, from a vehicle loan to a mortgage. It all starts here. On the website, you can visit the newsroom for all things Northwest Bank. You can also view the Biz Buzz blog for their business insight, or simply use the multiple banking tools to enhance your banking experience. All this at nw.bank. Once again, don't wait and open up an account with Northwest Bank. Commitment that you can bank on. I want to thank Northwest Bank for being a part of our program. So a couple of things happened yesterday and today. And some of the things that we were talking about earlier is the transfer portal, the NIL, and all of the things with college athletics. I do not believe that football coaches don't like it because it takes away their power. The NCAA doesn't like it because it's taking away some cash and not giving them as much power over the people that are providing the product. The United States government doesn't like it because they do not think that it's a fair and it's not a fair and level playing ground. This is what's happened the last few times. And it tends to lead the people that are asking, and it's some football coaches are asking, some football administrators are asking, they're asking for the federal government to take a look at this and try to figure out what can be done. I have said all along that if you have something like that happen, then you aren't following along enough to figure out that if you bring, I believe that these athletic directors and presidents, CEOs, whatever you want to call them, I think they think that the federal government has their best interests at hand and maybe not the collegiate football players. And there are issues with everything that's happening. And I understand that. I believed a long time ago that you cannot give the coaches the ability and maneuverability to move from team to team and not have it affect the team that's bringing. If he leaves one team and goes to another, he doesn't have to sit out games. He doesn't have to stop what he's doing. He doesn't have to lose any money. He actually gains more money because he's leaving one job for another job for more money. And whenever you want to have that same kind of maneuverability with student athletes, coaches are the first ones that stand up in line and go, that's not the way this works. That's not fair. The only way this works is if we have control over the players in our programs. Well, people finally wised up and said, okay, this doesn't seem right. So a coach, and this is just a typical thing, a said coach, Coach A, can be coaching a football team in the NCAA in a Power 5 conference that is the Big 10, the Big 12, the Pac-12, the SEC, and the ACC. No matter if it's football, basketball, whatever you want to pull up. And he can leave. He can get out of his contract. He can leave. And he can go to a different program. So he has the maneuverability to leave one program and go to another. Now, I do not have a problem with that. Where I have a problem with is if a individual, an NCAA student athlete, wants to do the same. And it could be for many reasons. It could be, one, the coach just left. It could be what the coach promised didn't happen. It could be I have something going on and I'm too far away from home. There's so many different things that can happen. Student athletes can't do that. Student athletes cannot transfer to another program without sitting out for a year. I didn't think that was right. If that's right, then if a coach leaves or an administrator leaves, then they shouldn't be able to go get another job in that same area for a year. The amount of money, and with all of the NIL and the NIL specifically, but just contracts in general and what coaches are making and what athletic directors are making and what presidents of universities are making, and the amount of open access or the ability to see everything that's going on not being there. But when student athletes step up and say that they want to have the same type of freedom, then there's all kinds of roadblocks you can do. Well, it's not right. They were recruited. They signed a recruitment letter. That's my favorite one. Well, they signed a letter of intent. Okay. A letter of intent between the university and the student athlete is overseen and is a signed contract that the NCAA is supposed to be able to adhere to and overlook. If the last time I checked, if an NCAA head coach leaves one program and goes to another program, he doesn't have to sit out for a year. He doesn't take less money. He doesn't lose playing time. He doesn't lose coaching time. He's not out anything. But all the student athletes are. So then you hear this one. Well, the student athletes didn't come to the university because of the coach. They came to the university to play sports. Well, they came to the university. The university did not recruit these young men and women. individual coaches recruit these men and women. Athletic directors could be part of hiring these men and women. So the fact that you have an uneven playing field in this, and my last point. I've been practicing this all day on the golf course today because that's what we talked about today. Is you have these football games on, I mean, it's 3 nights a week. It's going to be 4 nights a week, but it's 3 nights a week right now. And revenue coming in from these games on TV, TV contracts, they're out of hand. And they just keep going up and up and up. Here's the other part that's out of hand. Coaches' salaries. Comparative to, I mean, you don't have to coach in a professional league anymore to be able to consider yourself to be one of the highest paid coaches. Some of the highest paid coaches are coaching in college football and college basketball. The amount of money that is being made, and I'll even give you a couple of coaches. I think Dabo Sweeney's one. I think Nick Saban's one. I think Brian Kelly's one. My guy at USC, that one's going to hit me here in just a second. I think he's one. I think there's a few. I think there's a handful that probably generate the ability to get more money on their contracts than other really close coaches. But you have a high-end, especially in college basketball, the high-end amount. There's many more of them than there are in football, even though there are more. I not that there's more coaches, but I think the money is higher in football, but I think some of the high-end NCAA basketball coaches make more. We don't go to games, and we don't watch games on TV to see Nick Saban. Man. Nick Saban and Brian Kelly and Jimbo Fisher and Lane Kiffin and all these guys, they want to make you believe that we pay money or subscribe or do what we do because of them. I don't think I've ever met a lot of people that base what they're watching on a athletic event to see the coach. If I'm wrong, somebody needs to throw something out on Twitter. I mean, I there's a lot of really, really good there's a lot of really good coaches. I can't see one coach in the NCAA that I want to watch on TV coach more than I want to watch Caleb Williams play quarterback at USC. Or Derek May play quarterback at North Carolina, or watch some college basketball players, especially for my Cyclones or for everyone else's Hawkeyes in this state, or Drake, or you and I. We're not going to these games and paying money to go to these stadiums. I love Ben Jacobson. I think Ben Jacobson is a great coach. I think TJ's a great coach. I think Fran's a great coach. I really do. But we're not there to watch them. We're there to watch the kids. And now we have the federal government involved. And I actually, when I saw the things that the federal government brought out today, I'm not against what they're talking about. One of the things that they said today, they want to make sure that the NCAA as a whole in their athletic budgets and the NCAA institution itself for their budgets put aside money that's being made off of these student athletes to help them later in life if they have issues that are affecting their ability to make a living. I like that. I think that's a great idea. I really don't want to hear all these coaches that are out there saying that this is out of control and we don't know what to do about it, but they are just as guilty as everybody else is. But they don't want to change the way that they have to participate or the rules that they have to follow. They want to change the rules of the student athlete. And their one thing that they say, and this was Greg Sankey earlier this week, they state that current lack of nationwide standard has created a race to the bottom and among state legislatures that are passing likeness activity to draw the lines around boundaries that do not become simply pay for play. Now, I don't know what a lot of other schools are doing. I know who Caitlin Clark's. I know who, where her, the majority of it, because it's out there. If it's Hy-Vee or if it's somebody else, I see where that's coming from. You are supposed to be able to give them, to be able to market them and their ability to bring money into your program. And that's how that should be. Now, do I think that you should just be able to pay student athletes $7,500 for being a student athlete? It's not the way I would go, but with the amount of money that the NCAA is making off the student athletes, I think it's probably closer to happening than it is far away. And I'm not opposed to seeing something like that happen. Just based, I mean, even if you just wanted to base it on the college football playoff system or the NCAA tournament, the amount of money that's made that goes to other people's pockets, but not the people who were paying the money to go see, it's an issue. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. One more segment this hour, then interviews coming up in the second. Very happy to be here today. Beautiful day outside. Hope everybody enjoyed. Drive safely home. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. As always, you can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. The website's 1700thechamp.com. We get Minnesota Twins baseball tomorrow, 6:30 pregame, so right after my show. They play the White Sox. They also play them on Saturday, Sunday. Next Monday, Tuesday, the Twins are playing the Mariners at home. We have British Open updates coming up at the 55 breaks today and this weekend. And we also have NTT IndyCar racing at Iowa Speedway on both Saturday and Sunday. 1:30 start on Saturday, a 1 o'clock start on Sunday. A lot of us from the radio station will be there. Doing some shows live. I will be there with Scott tomorrow, Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott from 4 to 6. I also have Ann Fiskren coming on today. She is the CEO of Newton Speedway and going to have her on, get some quick things through, some of the stuff going on, the concerts, best ways to get there, just some of the things that are happening around the track and what you need when you're coming down. So we'll get you up to speed and ready to go. And then Scott and I will be live. I do believe last year we were live outside and, man, it was hot. So I think we're inside this year, which is kind of cool. I appreciate that. Moving along here just really quickly, this segment is going to be brought to you by the Four Homeless Veterans. Central Iowa Shelter and Services is hosting their fifth annual Four Homeless Veterans golf outing, benefiting the homeless U.S. veterans that are staying with them in their emergency shelter. It is Monday, July 31st at the Legacy Golf Club, Norwalk, Iowa. Great golf course. A ton of fun. A whole lot more fun when you're doing it with other people involved. But it's still, it's very exciting and can't wait for all of this. By participating in this event, you are supporting the mission to provide homeless veterans an opportunity to grow and rebuild. The fund raised helped maintain all 150 beds at the emergency shelter, provide street outreach, and cook 600 nutritious meals each day. For many of our veterans, these services are the first steps towards stability. You can be a whole sponsor. It's $250. We need 18 of them. You're going to have to get them because I have a feeling they're going really quick. You can participate in a team. It's a team event. It's a four-person best ball. It is $600 per team. That's $150 per person. It also gets you 18 holes, a golf cart, a banquet meal, two drink tickets, player, and raffle and prizes. Or you can do both. You can be a whole sponsor and have a team. It's $800. It saves you $50. We hope that you take that $50 and donate that right back to the cause. You can register individually or as a team. Go to centraliowashelter.org/events/4FORE.html. Come join us. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to help a lot of people. It's one of their bigger fundraisers. And I want to thank Melissa, Eric Mangles, and all involved who are putting this together. And we're Scott and I are very, very thankful and very proud that we get to go and be a part of it. So appreciate everybody on that. Some of the other sporting events or sporting things going on. The biggest one, we stated earlier today, Dan Snyder is no longer going to be the owner of the Washington Commanders. He spent a lot of money, and I saw a crazy stat. I do believe that he bought the team for like $600 million, and he's selling the team for it's a lot. I do believe it's $3.8 billion, or it is more than that. He did just have to pay $60 million on some of the different suits that were out there against him and some of the things that happened while he was the owner of the Washington Commanders. I really don't like to talk about people. I don't know Daniel Snyder. All I can do is from looking from afar, I can tell you that some of the things that happened on his watch, some of the things that he's been accused of, some of the things that he's been guilty of, cannot and should not have lasted as long or still be going on and still being able to own a team and make the amount of money that he was making. Probably not one of the all-time great owners, probably not one of the all-time great people. And you just can't get away with doing stuff like that anymore. And, you know, I hate the fact that it's one of the bigger stories. I mean, there's so many different stories going on. The British Open, the Open. It's one of my favorite ones to watch, even though it's pretty much the majority of it's played during a time that I am not awake at night to be able to watch it. I'm going to try to do that a little different tonight. You have baseball trade deadline coming up. We had Randy Wehofer in here yesterday. He is magnificent with what he does and all the different things that we can throw at him and him come back and just pick them off and rationally tell you the things that happen in owning a major sports team. And in baseball right now, you have somewhat of a haves and have not league. You have half the teams, pretty much half the teams are over 500, half the teams are below 500, half the teams have probably given up on the year. The other half are doing everything humanly possible to get to the playoffs, to try to get to the World Series, to win the World Series. That's what it's all about. You have Shohei Ohtani, who right now, the way it stands, it looks like he's going to be, it looks like he's going to be traded. I don't think the LA, I don't think the LA Angels are able to afford to pay everything that they have, and they need to see if they can get something for it. That doesn't mean that he doesn't come back, but I think there's a really good chance that he gets traded at the trade deadline, and I didn't think that was going to happen. So it's just, it's that time, you know, we are excited here with the NTT Indy series coming up. We are less than 50 days away from the National Football League. And we are probably that same amount from getting into college football. We are, what is today? Today is the 20th. So 11 to, we're 21 days from today. The Iowa State Fair. I am still full from eating the 10 foods that got nominated to get down to 3 foods who are going to be then decided by the people that are going to the Iowa State Fair and eating these foods, what the best new food at the Iowa State Fair is going to be. And I tasted 10 of them. That was a huge topic of conversation today. Number one, how do you get the gig? And I'm like, you need to come in and do 2 hours of radio every day. And sometimes you get to have some pretty cool things that you get to do. The thing that I wanted to say, and I don't know if I said enough of it yesterday, is the amount of time and effort and ingenuity that these groups, these 10 foods, these 10 organizations put together. It's not like you, it's not easy, folks. It's just not something that you know, this is trying a bunch of stuff over time, trying to perfect to get that one, you know, that one great product that you can put out, that you can, you know, with somewhat of our help and the help of everybody, can make people go to your stand and want to eat. And man, were they good. None of them were anything but spectacular. There were just some that stood out. And the one I talked most of, and I just think it makes sense because this is the thing about the Iowa State Fair. It's going to be the same at Newton Speedway, except for it's not going to be as bad at Newton Speedway this weekend as it is going to be next week, because it looks a little it looks a little warm next week for Rag Bride coming through. But I'm thinking walking through the fair and seeing kids trying to eat ice cream, but they want that sweet. I'm telling you, these cookie dough balls that come on a stick, man, they're going to sell a ton of those because they're not going to melt. And the warmer it is, the warmer they are, the better they are. Now, me, I want to get some, take them home, and freeze them and then eat them. But that's just me. Ann Fishgrund is coming on. She's the CEO of Newton Speedway. She's coming up next. NTT Indy Series coming this weekend. It's going to be a blast. I'm going to be there. Hopefully you are too. You're listening. Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Thursday. Last segment of this first hour on Thursday. Hope everybody had a great day. It was a beautiful day out there today. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ as well. Tomorrow night we have Twins White Sox. You get Twins Mariners on Monday, Tuesday. Saturday and Sunday, this station right here has some special events coming on. I'm going to talk about that here in just a second. But before I do, I get to introduce my next guest. Her name is Ann Fishgrund. She is, and I'm not going to mess this up. What is your official title? And welcome to the show. It's glad to hear you back on live radio with me. What is your official title?
the title you give me or my real title?
Well, the title I give you is awesome, but your real title.
I am the general manager of Hy-Vee IndyCar Race Weekend.
Awesome. And that is at Iowa Speedway, and that is Saturday and Sunday. And I keep getting in trouble because I'm old, and I the word Newton almost comes out, and I get yelled at by everybody. So I'm never saying it again. It is Iowa Speedway.
Speedway in Newton.
Yes, in Newton. I like that. The most important thing is, how are you doing, and how are you settling into being a Newtonian? I love it that you're in Newton.
You know what? We are ready for race weekend. The teams have pulled in. The concert stage is built. We are opening our gates tomorrow at 2 p.m., and we could not be more excited over here at Iowa Speedway.
And we're excited. We are going to be there live from 4 to 6 tomorrow, Scott and I, doing Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're very excited. My wife and I are going to be there the whole weekend. I want to talk about the racing, but a lot of people, they've been talking about this throughout the whole week. We'll hit the racing in a second, but let's talk a little bit about the concert series that are going to be going on as well.
Absolutely. So Saturday and Sunday, we have four amazing performances before and after the races each day. On Saturday, if you are joining us in the morning, we will have a 60-minute concert from Carrie Underwood.
Yes.
Following the race that evening, Kenny Chesney is taking the stage for an hour and a half. On Sunday, the same situation, that 60-minute concert being performed from by Zac Brown Band. And then that evening, Ed Sheeran is joining us for an hour and a half.
That is incredible. Kudos to you guys. I'll be very honest. I'm like, oh my gosh, last year was so much fun. What are they going to do? And bam, you've gone. It's crazy, and you're getting that much time, and that's not even talking about the fastest track. I mean, I have got to follow a bunch of these drivers, and they cannot quit talking about how much they love the speed, the atmosphere, the environment of this speedway.
It is. This event and this place brings so much energy and this unique experience. Nowhere will you have this much action in one weekend for all ages. There's something to do all the time, whether you're out in the concourse, hanging out with our sponsors, interacting, listening to the local bands on the Turn 4 stage, or you're sitting in your grandstand seat enjoying on-track action from a race car or the concerts. There is something for everyone.
And you are the I saw, I don't even know who sent this to me, but I had kind of like a vendor. There is all kinds of food, all kinds of beverages. It's not going to be as warm as what next week, and that's awesome. But there's places that you can stay cool and enjoy what is going to be an outstanding weekend.
Yes, it is. If you have joined us in the past, last year may have been a little toasty, just a little. But this year, it looks like someone's shining down on us, and we are hoping that all goes to plan, and we have a great weekend with great weather.
And just a little bit about the Speedway. And I was looking on here for, you know, going through and seeing some of the race car drivers. And the three that happened to be on here, and it's Alex Palou, Scott Dixon, and Joseph Newgarden. And I do believe, if I'm correct, Joseph Newgarden was the one who just won the Indianapolis 500. Am I correct?
You are.
Yes. And what a celebrate. That was... I am a huge Indy 500 guy, and because of my family and my father-in-law, John, and my mother-in-law, Nana, and my wife, and seeing Joseph jump up and get in with the fans, that is one of the coolest things about Indy race car, all these events. It's how interconnected the fans and the drivers are.
We are a very special sport. We have the opportunity to provide access more than most professional sports leagues do. And even in racing, we provide more access than most. Every race weekend we go to, and same here at Iowa Speedway, tomorrow night at 6:15, if you care, is an autograph session. So all the drivers do an hour autograph session every race weekend. That just doesn't happen. And in addition to that, we sell paddock passes, garage passes. So fans can buy a pass to get into this semi-restricted area to be able to see the cars being worked on, watch the crews, and meet some of the drivers as they walk through, which, you know, that would never happen in the NFL or the NBA. Your access just isn't that. We really want to make sure that we are family-friendly in the way that if you want to have the opportunity to meet a driver and learn more about our sport, you have that opportunity.
Can you explain a little bit to the audience, so the difference in the races that we will see from Friday, Saturday, and Sunday?
Yeah, absolutely. So Friday, gates are open for free on Friday. I do want to point that out. If you live nearby and you want to join us, there is no cost to come into the gates that night. Friday afternoon, we will start with the Indy Next series, which is kind of just the lower, like one tier down from IndyCar, with practice at 2:15. After that, the NTT IndyCar series will take the stage and have an hour and a half practice. And then after that would be the Indy Next qualifying. Saturday morning, bright and early, IndyCar hits the ground running with qualifying at 8:30 in the morning. Because this is a doubleheader weekend, there's a race Saturday and a race Sunday. Qualifying is two laps, and they will take your speed of the first lap and put that in your that will be your qualifying order for Saturday's race, and your second lap is the order for Sunday's race. So they'll filter in based on those speeds, races each day, and a lot of entertainment.
Oh my gosh, I try to explain to people just how loud and awesome it is to listen to these cars. I mean, it just makes your heart pump faster, and it's so much fun, and how the crowd is so into it. And you know, you don't get to see that or feel that or hear that when you're watching it on TV. It doesn't have the same effect. When you're there and you're right there, it is the most amazing thing that you can see.
It is the speed. It is the atmosphere of the people around you. To your point, the sound, the smell, right, of fuel. It is just an adrenaline rush to see what the athleticism it truly is for these teams to get around this track and try to finish in first position.
And we can't wait. One of the other things that when I had a couple of my buddies today, when we were out golfing today at an event, and I'm like, you're not going to believe, because a bunch of them are going, and I'm like, you're not going to believe how young some of these drivers are. I mean, it's just amazing. And the speed and the technical aspect of it and everything. And I've watched kind of behind the scenes and how they are so involved with everything that's being set up. It's not like, you know, I have this old time feeling of like Johnny Rutherford and Al Unser and AJ Foyt just trusting everybody and jumping in the car going, hey, I can drive the car. You just get the car ready to go and I'm good to go. That's not the way they do this anymore. It is so technical.
It is. And, you know, you talk about the age range. We have young guns, to your point, that are dominating the track, such as Pato O'Ward, who actually won the second race here last year. But then we also have people like Scott Dixon, who's 42 and is one of our most winningest drivers of all time from the series perspective, still crushing it out there. So you kind of have the best of both worlds, and that just shows you, one, the true athleticism, but two, how competitive this place is to just keep on fighting for those wins.
Okay, so before I let you go, and then hopefully we're going to have you on again tomorrow so Scott won't feel heartbroken that he didn't get to do this with me. But so let's start on Saturday. Carrie Underwood kicks us off. What time does she kick us off?
She kicks us off, I would say, around, call it 11:50.
Okay. And then
5-0.
And then you're going to have a race. And then after that race, Kenny Chesney kicks in. He's got an hour and a half. Carrie Underwood gives you 60 minutes on Sunday. Yeah. Zach Brown Band kicks us off on Sunday.
And at 11.
At 11. And that race is going to be awesome as well. And then I'm telling you, I don't know what everybody else is you know, talking about or doing. Ed Sheeran here in Newton is a big deal because people are just, I mean, gangbusters excited about this.
It is going to be great. I mean, you cannot get that much awesome on-track action from a sports perspective and this much music influence and excitement in one place, in one day. There's no way.
I agree.
You have to be here. You have to be here.
And they got to see you, and they got to see just how hard you work, but how much you enjoy it. I think that's the thing that I got the biggest kick out of is just you are in your element, and you are ready to go, and I can't wait to see you tomorrow. It's going to be so exciting the whole weekend, and congrats. And here's your reward. You get to watch this and then you start over on Monday, and that's your reward for the job that you do, and you do so well.
We will wrap up 2023 and start planning 2024, but I am so excited to have you out here tomorrow and can't wait for everyone to join us this weekend at Iowa Speedway.
All right, Anna, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for jumping on today. I appreciate it, and I will see you, and Scott will see you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Sounds great. Have a great evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
She is, I'm telling you, she is the best. She is so easy to work with. So I didn't want to ask her all the questions because I'm telling you, Scott would have got mad at me because he can't wait. So once again, just to go back through there. So Carrie Underwood, maybe 11:50, Kenny Chesney, enough time to set up afterwards, 11 o'clock, definitely for Zach Brown Band on Sunday, and then the race. And then as quickly as you won't believe how quickly they can turn these tracks around or get the stages on, stages off, and go through. It's a great weekend. There's still tickets out there. The most important thing that she said, if you're in the general area, tomorrow is free. And it's a big deal because when we were there last year and we were watching, it was the ability. I mean, we were outside and we had headphones on. They're running on the track, running time, you know, running for time. It is so loud, but it is so much fun, and just the excitement of everybody there. The first thing that I noticed last year, and I'd been to Newton Speedway before when NASCAR and Rusty Wallace and all that, it's a different atmosphere and a different take on that. You just don't realize how big and what their footprint is up there. It is incredible. It's a ton of fun. And I'm glad that the radio station is a big part of this. You're going to hear Scott and I. You're going to hear KGGY. You're going to hear The Vibe. You're going to hear a bunch of people there giving this as much respect and trying to get this out to as many people as possible. Tickets are not that expensive. It's great on either day. You're going to see some of the best drivers out there. Barring none. I mean, it is going to be an exciting time. So jump in, get to be a part of it. I guarantee you, you're going to enjoy it. Just to jump back in really quick here on a couple more things, just a heads up. So B Styles is coming in at 5:21 today. Maddie Nelson is coming in at 5:40 today. We're going to talk some Iowa State with him. We're going to talk some Minnesota Twins with B Styles. We're going to talk some Iowa Hawkeyes. We're going to, you know, we are not far away, folks. We're less than 50 days away from college and professional football. I just got my first invite 30 minutes ago for my first fantasy football draft. So that's what we're looking into and we're looking forward to. Once again, just taking a couple back here. British Open, a amateur is atop the leaderboard. I'm going to call him Christo because I don't want to. It's Lamprecht is what I think. He's 5 under. He's tied with Tommy Fleetwood and Emilio Grillo. An American, Brian Harman, is tied for 4th, along with Wyndham Clark. Stuart Sink, Max Homa's in there. You have Jordan Spieth. Who else do we have here? Xander Schauffele shot a 1 under today. Patrick Reed shot a 1 under. Patrick Cantlay, Brooks Koepka, Scotty Scheffler. Just some of the well-knowns for me. My guy, Jordan Spieth, shot a 2 under today, so he's up in the leaderboard as well. So it's going to be an exciting day. Ricky Fowler, plus one, so not a bad round for his first round back up at a major. And I know how excited he is about being back and getting to do this. So once again, I want to thank Ann, general manager, Iowa Speedway. She does a fantastic job. You'll hear her again tomorrow, hopefully, if she's not too busy. With Scott and I, we just love to sit and talk with her because she's just that exciting, and the ability is amazing. You're listening to Steen on Sports. I got B Styles coming up next. I got Maddie Nelson after him today. Hope everybody had a great day. What a beautiful day outside today. You are listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook at 1700 The Champ. Friday night and Saturday, or Friday night, we get Twins White Sox. Saturday, Sunday, we have Iowa Speedway stuff going on. So then we jump back in again on Monday, Tuesday, Twins Mariners. Twins doing a good job of wrapping up that series and getting, they need to keep playing well against those White Sox as well. To try to keep their season alive, and they're doing a really good job so far. This segment is going to be brought to you by Woodman Controls. Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solution company, provides designs, engineers, installs programs and services, HVAC, lighting, card access, and camera controls for the entire state. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security. Go to their website. It is woodmancontrols.com and see all they can do for you, because they are an outstanding automation machinery manufacturing company. I want to thank Woodman Controls for being a part of the program. My next guest, he's at the B Styles. He jumps in when I need him to, when on Thursdays when I have stuff going on Fridays. I appreciate it. B, how you doing, brother?
Doing good. And I guess maybe this is where I should mention I'm going to a game on Sunday, which you just said you're not carrying. But, hey, that'll be a good time over at Target Field for that. But before we get into anything, I got a question to ask you here.
Yes.
Have you been playing the Immaculate Grid by any chance?
I have not. Explain.
Okay. Okay. So they actually just started a football one today, but there's a baseball one. So what it is it's a 3x3 grid. Okay?
Oh my gosh.
And then
yes.
You have like rows and columns, and basically what you want to do with each box is find something that matches each row and column. So let's say the first column you have like a Cubs logo, and then the first row, you have a White Sox logo. So in the box that intersects that row and that column, you got to come up with somebody that played for both the Cubs and White Sox.
That is why my kids keep calling me about old baseball stuff. Wow.
Yes. Okay. So, yeah, and they probably ask you, hey, do you know anybody who played for this team and this team? Yeah, that's what it is. And they just created an NFL one today on their site. It's called ImmaculateGrid.com.
Okay.
And
that's awesome. Really,
they update the puzzles every morning. So it's something I got a few of my friends into here earlier in the week. And I feel like in our text thread, we've just been talking about it a lot. So
I'm in.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. And I think for somebody like you who's really into baseball and who's really into football, I think you would enjoy both of them.
Absolutely.
Immensely.
And I. You know, my brain works better when I'm trying to think of things from the past than it is when I'm trying to think of things that I did today. So that helps a little bit.
Right.
But that makes a lot of sense why my kids have been sending me text on really weird stuff. And
right.
I'm like,
well, yeah. And like there was one, I won't give away any answers, but like there was one that was like one of the columns was players that averaged 300 for their career batting average. And it's like one of those things where I sat there this morning when I was doing it, just like trying to think of guys that played for various teams like throughout my life. And then I realized, you know what, I'm overthinking this because I could go even further back and pick like some Hall of Famer that probably hit 300.
The one that shocked my kids, it was played for the Twins, played for the Brewers, and it was some kind of hitting. I'm like, well, that was easy. It's Paul Molitor. And they're like, how in the world did you?
I actually used Paul Molitor as the answer the other day on one.
Yeah.
And I was telling my friends, because I think it was somebody, it was like they played for the Twins and played for the Blue Jays.
Yes. Another one. Yeah. He did. Yeah. So that's, I love that stuff. And man, these companies know that just, people just go crazy about stuff like that. So it's a ton of fun. I mean, that whole Wordle thing and all that, and watching all the people trying to do that.
I do Wordle too every morning. I wake up, I after I get a chance to drink a cup of coffee, I do the Wordle, and then I now I'm doing those Immaculate Grids. So,
dude, you have to do it. You have to keep your brain occupied and keep it strong. You know, you try to do other things, but you have to do that.
Absolutely.
Your thought process on Hard Knocks. Are you a fan of Hard Knocks, or could you go, hey, you know what, I don't care? Where do you fall?
I was when it, like, as recently as like maybe even a few years back, but I think part of it too, like, for example, I love the one that they did with the Jets the last time in 2010.
Yeah.
When they had like Rex Ryan and they had like Mark Sanchez, and I obviously Sean Green was on that team, but he wasn't quite the character that some of the other guys on that team were. But it, yeah, like back then, or even like when they did the Dolphins that one year, I think it was Joe Philbin's first year coaching them, and they had Chad Johnson on the team, or like they were definitely, and like when they had it with Houston, I believe that was a really good one. Made you kind of like J.J. Watt a little bit more than you might have at the time. But it was one of those things where I feel like it was a really good show, but it's gotten now to the point where it's like, you know exactly what the script is. They basically just changed the characters. And like, it's okay. Like I've always kind of enjoyed it. I haven't watched it as much lately these last few years. I was really into that series that we were talking about last week with the quarterback.
Yep. I do too. What a great,
I think that's something that's probably kind of going to overtake, the Hard Knocks eventually, because you have a former player that's kind of overseeing all that in Peyton Manning. But two, I think it's just in terms of the access that's given, and like the fact that they're using game footage from real games, as opposed to like when you're watching Hard Knocks, yeah, you're watching some stuff during practice, which seems cool. You're watching like some preseason stuff. Okay. But like, how great is that really? Cause like, it's one of those things you got to remember too. Like when they do this with the Jets here over the next month, they might focus on Aaron Rodgers a little bit just because he's the brand new thing in New York, but like, they're not going to make every single episode about him. It's mostly going to be about some of the younger guys on that team that are fighting for roster spots.
Right. And I think Breece Hall is going to get some run from being injured, you know, and you know, they're going to want to, instead of Aaron, they want the other quarterback. Help me with his name, Wilson.
Zach Wilson.
Yeah, they're going to want to talk to him. I mean, that's a no-brainer. Going back to Netflix again, I watched it. Marcus Mariota, I think, came out. I mean, I think people now understand more about Marcus Mariota. And I think people found out that, hey, stop listening to the haters. Kirk Cousins is not a bad guy. He's not a bad football player, and he's not a bad guy. He just played the system the way the system usually plays other people.
Right. And like we were talking about that before, to his credit. You know, he's definitely a businessman. He knows what he's doing. And I think it's – I'm sure for a lot of people it was refreshing to kind of see that player that when he goes home, he's just a regular dad. He's just, you know, a regular husband, a guy that, you know, doesn't think too much of himself. And I could even say the same about Mahomes, to be honest with you, just in the sense of like, especially now that he has a younger son along with having, I think, like a 2-year-old daughter, something where, hey, he's got to play the role of dad. And I think that the series did a good job of not just focusing on everything that those guys do on the field, but like all the stuff that they do leading up to the game, like throughout the week, whether it's like trying to memorize play calls or, you know, going through rehab, going through various workouts they do on their own time, the stuff that they do with their families when they have time off. Like, I thought that that was really cool. And like, there was even a scene where they show Kirk Cousins. I won't give away everything that happens, but there is a scene where he has a Tuesday off and he's out of Barnes & Noble reading books. And he's asking the person at the counter, hey, do you have this book and this book and this book? And he's just basically hanging out in the store all day reading. It's like, you know, there are people like that
yep.
among us that, you know, like on a weekend, they might go and do that. And it's one of those things where you have people that maybe don't watch football or maybe don't find themselves relating to like a Kirk Cousins. They might suddenly be like, hey, you know what? I can totally relate to this.
And, you know, I think that's one of the things that it's showing as well is the intellectual part of what it is to be an NFL quarterback or an NFL yeah. player at any point in time. The amount of things that you have to remember, memorize, mm-hmm. and make it a daily part of your life is so incredibly
yeah.
hard that, you know, I think that gets lost. And
right.
I think the NFL did a good job. I think, you know, here's the really crazy thing. I don't know if this is humanly possible, but I don't think we give Peyton Manning enough credit on what he's out there doing for different sports, but especially the NFL.
Oh, for sure. And I think part of this too, the more I think about it, it's probably a reflection of him because we never really saw that side of him. You know, I think people always, and he probably has enough self-awareness on this that people always just kind of assumed, hey, he's this robot on the field. It's like, okay, I know all of these plays and I'm going to throw the ball to Brandon Stokley on this play. I'm going to throw to Reggie Wayne on this play. I'm going to throw to Dallas Clark on this play. And like, this kind of shows that human side of these, you know, of quarterbacks, whether they're a superstar like he was or like Mahomes is now, or even just guys that, you know, are in Kirk Cousins' position where maybe they just haven't gotten over the hump yet. Or like even Mariota, like they showed scenes with him where, you know, he had to memorize plays and they interview his high school friend who became his personal chef and like the guy making sure that he eats like healthy meals like throughout the week so that way his body can handle the hits and everything that he goes through when he's on the field. So, yeah, I definitely thought like it's a truly fascinating series. And I feel like stuff like that is going to maybe overtake more of what like you see with the Hard Knocks just because the Hard Knocks stuff is so repetitive.
Right. Once again, we're talking to Brendan Styles. He's at DB Styles on Twitter. More excited about the next 40 days that college football or NFL?
I think it's a little of both for me.
See, I thought it would be for you. I mean, some people just automatically go NFL, but I didn't think you would do that.
Right. No, it's one of those things where, like, for college even, like, it's exciting to even think about, you know, like, a few of the week zero games. Although I think the only one that really kind of stands out is Notre Dame against Navy. But that, to me, is always kind of fascinating. And I think there's different layers to it. Because, like, with college, obviously, yes, you're at that point now where they call it talking season because they have all the conferences have these media days, and then the teams have their media days, and then they're all in fall camp, and it doesn't feel like there's a whole lot going on there, but then suddenly the end of August comes, and boom, you're playing real games right from the get-go. Whereas with the NFL, it's training camps that are, I feel like sometimes maybe you're recovered a little too much, and then you got preseason games, which, okay, it's cool to every now and then see, like, if so-and-so is battling for a roster spot. But really, I for me, watching the NFL preseason games, it was more of an opportunity to be like, hey, here's the former Hawkeye. Let's see if he makes a roster or not, if they were
right.
somebody that wasn't drafted. Whereas, you know, once you get to the regular season, for at least for me, being a Bears fan, like at that point, it's strictly, okay, are they winning or losing? What's going on with them and what's going on with their division?
Are you really paying attention to Major League Baseball right now? White Sox not playing particularly well, but
I am. It's hard to pay. I've been paying attention, but it's one of those things where, like, yeah, they lost again to the Mets last night. They're not having a good year, and the Cubs. It's weird with them because I feel like it's like the pieces are in place for them, and like the stats, like advanced stats, would suggest that they have a shot, but really it's a matter of being able to take advantage of the schedule they got right now. Cause like they just finished a series at the Nats. They play four games against the Cardinals this week at Wrigley Field. Then the Cubs and White Sox play each other next week on the South side. And then the Cubs go to St. Louis right after that. So they have an opportunity to gain some ground on Milwaukee, but at this point, like the way the Brewers have played of late, I kind of starting to wonder if maybe things are going to even out for them and then they're going to eventually run away with it. I will say this, with the AL Central, you brought up the Twins. I think it's at a point, we may not be at it just yet, but I think eventually the Twins are going to run away with the American League Central, because I feel like Cleveland, they've been kind of inconsistent, and they came out of the second half, they started the second half completely flat, getting swept by Texas, and then you saw what the Twins were able to do in Oakland to take advantage of playing bad teams, and then you mentioned what they did today against Mariners. So I think it's something where it's not too difficult, I don't think, to figure out what teams are going to eventually emerge. But it's just kind of waiting to see, okay, will there be any sort of surprises between now and the end of September, or do we already kind of have a pretty good idea of what we're going to expect come October?
We got about a minute and a half. If I had to ask you to put a significant amount of money down on over under on Iowa Hawkeye football wins, what would you be comfortable putting as that number?
I think the number that's going to get you the people betting on like equally would probably be 9.5, because I think you'll have enough people that are willing to go to 9, and I'm willing to go to 9 on them, but I don't know if they're willing to go to 10.
Right. So 9
and that's one of those things that, right. And that could be, and I'm basing that mostly on the schedule as well, but it also, you have to think that the offense, just with Cade McNamara coming in as a quarterback, you have to think that that's going to be an upgrade. And if that's an upgrade, and if the offensive line is able to play better, then they should be able to score more points. And maybe some of those games that they lost last year, not necessarily against like the Michigans and Ohio States of the world, but like Iowa State or Illinois, maybe those become wins. And then suddenly, yeah, you're looking at potentially a 9-win season and possibly playing in Indianapolis come December.
The biggest worry from people that I talked to, and I wanted your take, and you got about 10 seconds,
mm-hmm.
Health and injuries.
Yep.
That's the evening factor, right, to not get to that 9.5.
And I would say that's the case on both sides of the ball, absolutely.
Yep. And their punter. I mean, that's a huge deal, man. That guy, that's a pretty cool thing. B, as always, I appreciate you jumping on. We're going to be down in Newton tomorrow with the Indy Racing League, so we're going to be doing that, so I appreciate it, buddy. Thank you. Have a good weekend.
Absolutely. Talk to you next week.
You are listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700, the Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. One segment left, Maddie Nelson. Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Thursday. Last segment on this Thursday. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700, the Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ, and the website 1700thechamp.com. Minnesota Twins baseball Friday. NTT IndyCar racing at Iowa Speedway on Saturday and Sunday. British Open updates will air at 55 at the 55 break over the weekend. Next Monday, Tuesday, Twins Mariners. I think I got all those done. Want to thank the sponsors of our show, Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Heritage Building Maintenance, and 4 Homeless Veterans Golf Tournament at Legacy Golf Club on Monday, July 31st. My next guest is Maddie Nelson. He is at MNelson_ISU. Maddie Nelson, how are you?
Yeah, I'm great.
Good to talk to you. Good to talk some Cyclones, man. We got some stuff to talk about. First off, as always, how's the family?
We're great. Margaret had her third birthday this past weekend.
That is way too fast, buddy. Way too fast. You need to slow that down. It's before you know it, she's going to be 16, and we're going to go, what the heck?
You're telling me.
Oh, my goodness. And how is, I keep up on this with you all the time, but for the listeners out there, crops, different places in the state, where is it good, where is it not so good, and is there a place that it's really bad?
Not really a place that it's really bad. We could always use rain, but we've gotten quite a bit here in the central part of the state, so I would say, the very edges of the state, west and east, and there are parts where it is really dry, and they're kind of in tough shape, and there are some pockets around the state where they've just missed rains. But in general, we're in good shape. But we will learn a lot for in the next 2 weeks, because the forecast for next week is pretty brutal.
Brutal.
And it's going to stay hot and dry for a little bit. So we will see how these products can.
This is my take on next week. It's God saying, I don't know if people should ride their bikes across Iowa. I think that's what the weather's saying for next week.
There could be better weather for next week. But you know what? I mean, mid-90s is not atypical for July, Steve. We've actually been pretty fortunate. We've had a pretty mild month.
It has been. And I can't even believe we're saying this, that we're getting ready to get through July. Before you know it, August is around the corner, the fair's around the corner, and then we are into football. And that's the first topic of the day. And I don't know if I understand that what Matt Campbell did during the interviews and stuff about the whole gambling thing. And I think he has a point. He has no idea, because I don't think the NCAA has any idea. When do you think that's going to be settled business?
I don't know. I mean, soon, I hope. You saw that an Iowa player kind of admitted to being part of it. Instead of going to media days. So clearly, you know, the schools know the players, right? They just don't – they have not heard yet what has been, you know, what the bets are. And once they get that from the state, where the state will say, hey, here's what each kid was doing, they will have to then submit that to the NCAA. And the NCAA will probably move pretty quickly on what those penalties are. So I would guess once Iowa State knows for sure, right, then that investigation is closed, and they should be able to release that. But, you know, they may also choose to wait until the NCAA, you know, rules on what that decision will be. Good news is now they pretty much know what those parameters are. Those were released here a few weeks ago from the NCAA in terms of what they're going to punish. So that's, you know, that's the good news, that we should get resolution quickly once that goes to the NCAA. Question is, how long is that going to take? You know, they've been moving on this for months. I would be surprised to see it drag on a whole lot longer. It's certainly not fair to the players and to the team to let this drag into football season. So, but I know as much as you do, Steen, which is nothing.
Very little. Nothing. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
You know, you hear rumors, and just to, and this is just for sake of radio, if something would happen to happen in the quarterback room, Rocco Breck, J.J. Cole, ready to take on this big of a challenge?
Not ready in terms of they've got experience, Steve, but ready in terms of I think they're
talent.
Certainly talented.
Yeah.
And J.J. has been in the program a little early. Rocco's been around longer. I think regardless of who's playing quarterback, if you make enough improvements elsewhere, I think the offense will be fine. Is it ideal? Certainly not, but I don't know that it, you know, necessarily derails your season. It's not like you have a two-time all-conference quarterback coming back who the offense is dependent on for success, right?
Right. Excited about the new teams that are coming in and having the leftover two for one more year?
Yeah, I'm excited. I think the JUCO quarterback's going to maybe compete a little bit too. So I think they're fine in that room. And whether Deckers is the guy or not, the good news is they've recruited well behind him. And
yep, I agree.
Even with him, right? You certainly saw flashes from him this past year, and he has the physical tools to play that position. So, you know, it's kind of hard to figure out what to expect from the season. But if you really unpack what went wrong last year, they're really a lot closer than we think. So, I think the over-unders are probably pretty accurate, but I'm really excited for this season just in general.
Once again, we're talking to Matt Nelson. He is at MNelson_ISU. To the audience today, JT Rock coming into the program early, what do we take from it?
Great question. I think nothing but positives, right?
Me too. Yes.
Being recruited by prep schools, and instead of going and playing somewhere else as a pit stop between here and then, he decided to just come play here.
Get bigger, faster, stronger. I love it.
That's correct. Yep, get bigger, get faster, get used to this program, right, and the expectations they put on. I actually got a chance to listen to TJ talk to a group of some young leaders here in Ames this week, and he talked a lot about that, right? This will be huge for him. They have a very specific way they run their program, very, very specific things that they expect, right? It's pretty demanding, and it's going to be good to have him in for a year. And TJ did confirm that their plan is to have him redshirt. So he will be getting a redshirt unless something changes due to injury and he has to play.
And I think that that bodes well. Just to jump on the other side for a second with Coach Finley, I think there were times when a lot of people went, I wonder if he knows what he's doing. But you know what? In Bill, we trust, just like we kind of do as Cyclone fans. And then you see the freshman class come in, and the first thing that I've seen from this, Matt, is how well they're already in tune with the community and other Iowa State athletes. I think Bill Finley's going to have a pretty surprising team this year.
Yeah, I think so. I think they're all healthy for the most part. And, you know, they've been good. We've gotten used to that. It's been a joy. Going to be a different team, right? Emily Ryan leading it, a lot of youth. I think from what I've heard, Audie Crooks has come along a lot. You know, they're working on, with this young of a team, endurance, conditioning, and also, you know, getting them used to the rigors of what basketball is like. I do know they're starting their 10 practices here before they take their overseas trip. Those are going to be really helpful for them, and I think that trip comes at a great time with that young of a team to get them a chance to bond and also play a little bit more competitively, plus get those extra practices. So I think all these programs are kind of in the same spot seed between men's basketball. Wrestling's probably the exception. They've got a more deep and experienced lineup, and we know that they'll be good. I think we expect both basketball programs to, you know, Iowa State, certainly the men to be really good, probably preseason top 25, where the women probably won't have those expectations. But all in fun scenarios. They've been good. They have young players, and we're going to get to see a lot of new faces and see a lot of growth.
I think we got about a minute and a half, Maddie. I think the thing with the Iowa men or Iowa State men is so many different pieces and so much ability to play defense and transition to offense and get easy buckets. I see a lot of turnovers forced and a lot of dunks. What do you think?
Yes, a lot of. I'm hoping a lot of runouts and a lot of fun, kind of high flying action, which we saw a little bit of times last year, but it's really sort of.
I mean, it's been
a lot more 3-point shooting.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen too. I'm trying to think the last time that we've had an athlete like Omaha. It's been since, and the left-handed dunker, and I just lost his name. Man, I had it right on the tip of my tongue, and I lost it.
Left-handed dunker. Oh, Deontay Burton.
Yes. I think that is what Omaha can do.
And play defense.
Oh, and play defense unbelievably well.
Yep, and we probably haven't even really, you know, gave his offensive game the consideration that it's due. And some of that just comes from being young, right? That offense is always, you know, I think we know his defense is going to translate right away because we've seen how physical he is. But, you know, hopefully his offense can also translate well, and I'd be surprised if it did.
And last thing, Taman Lipsey will make jump shots and will make three-pointers this year. I guarantee it.
That's what TJ said when I heard him speak this week. He said he's been in the gym all summer and he's shooting the lights out.
He is shooting. I saw a couple as well, and I agree. Maddie, thanks for jumping on today. I appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk again real soon.
Thanks,
Steve. See you, buddy. Maddie Nelson, you're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 to Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Have a great weekend. Check out Iowa Speedway, the NTT IndyCar. See you there.